She says I dazzle her. But boy, has she got that the wrong way around. She dazzles me in a way that I've never experienced, yet she's flown across the country to get away from me. How's that supposed to make me feel? She's right. It is a dark path I'm leading her down, but one that is far more intimate than any vanilla relationship, or so I've seen. I only have to look at Elliot and his alarmingly casual approach to dating to see the difference. And I'd never hurt her physically or emotionally. How can she think that? I just want to push her limits, see what she will and won't do, punish her when she colors outside the lines. Yeah, it might hurt, but not beyond anything she can take. We can work up to what I'd like to do. We can take it slow. And here's the rub. If she's going to do what I want her to do, I'm going to have to reassure her and give her more. What that might be, I don't yet know. I've taken her to meet my parents. That was more, surely. And that wasn't so hard. I take a slower jog around the park to think about what disturbs me most about her email. It isn't her fear. It's that she's terrified of the depth of feelings she has for me. What does that mean? That unfamiliar feeling surfaces in my chest as my lungs burn for air. It scares me. Scares me so much that I push myself harder, so that all I feel is the pain of exertion in my legs and in my chest, and the cold sweat that trickles down my back. Yeah, don't go there, Gray. Stay in control. Back in my apartment, I have a quick shower and shave, and then I dress. Gail is in the kitchen when I walk through on the way to my study.
Good morning, Mr. Gray. Coffee?
Please, I say, not stopping. I'm on a mission. At my desk, I fire up my iMac and compose my response to Anna. From Christian Gray. Subject, finally. Date, May 31st, 2011, 7:30 a.m. To Anastasia Steele. Anastasia, I am annoyed that as soon as you put some distance between us, you communicate openly and honestly with me. Why can't you do that when we're together? Yes, I'm rich. Get used to it. Why shouldn't I spend money on you? We've told your father I'm your boyfriend, for heaven's sake. Isn't that what boyfriends do? As your dom, I would expect you to accept whatever I spend on you, with no argument. Incidentally, tell your mother, too. I don't know how to answer your comment about feeling like a whore. I know that's not what you've written, but it's what you imply. I don't know what I can say or do to eradicate these feelings. I'd like you to have the best of everything. I work exceptionally hard so I can spend my money as I see fit. I could buy you your heart's desire, Anastasia, and I want to. Call it redistribution of wealth, if you will. Or simply know that I would not, could not ever think of you in the way you described. And I'm angry that's how you perceive yourself. For such a bright, witty, beautiful young woman, you have some real self-esteem issues, and I have half a mind to make an appointment for you with Dr. Flynn. I apologize for frightening you. I find the thought of instilling fear in you abhorrent. Do you really think I'd let you travel in the hold? I offered you my private jet, for heaven's sake. Yes, it was a joke, a poor one, obviously. However, the fact is, the thought of you bound and gagged turns me on. This is not a joke. It's true. I can lose the crate. Crates do nothing for me. I know you have issues with gagging. We've talked about that. And if/when I do gag you, we'll discuss it. What I think you fail to realize is that in dom/sub relationships, it is the sub who has all the power. That's you. I'll repeat this. You are the one with all the power, not I. In the boathouse, you said no. I can't touch you if you say no. That's why we have an agreement. What you will and won't do. If we try things and you don't like them, we can revise the agreement. It's up to you, not me. And if you don't want to be bound and gagged in a crate, then it won't happen. I want to share my lifestyle with you. I have never wanted anything so much. Frankly, I'm in awe of you, that one so innocent would be willing to try. That says more to me than you could ever know. You fail to see I am caught in your spell, too, even though I have told you this countless times. I don't want to lose you. I am nervous that you've flown 3,000 miles to get away from me for a few days, because you can't think clearly around me. It's the same for me, Anastasia. My reason vanishes when we're together. That's the depth of my feeling for you. I understand your trepidation. I did try to stay away from you. I knew you were inexperienced, though I would never have pursued you if I had known exactly how innocent you were. And yet you still managed to disarm me completely, in a way that nobody has before. Your email, for example. I have read and reread it countless times, trying to understand your point of view. 3 months is an arbitrary amount of time. We could make it 6 months, a year. How long do you want it to be? What would make you comfortable? Tell me. I understand that this is a huge leap of faith for you. I have to earn your trust, but by the same token, you have to communicate with me when I am failing to do this. You seem so strong and self-contained, and then I read what you've written here and I see another side to you. We have to guide each other, Anastasia, and I can only take my cues from you. You have to be honest with me, and we have to both find a way to make this arrangement work. You worry about not being submissive. Well, maybe that's true. Having said that, the only time you do assume the correct demeanor for a sub is in the playroom. It seems that's the one place where you let me exercise proper control over you, and the only place you do as you're told. Exemplary is the term that comes to mind. And I'd never beat you black and blue. I aim for pink. Outside the playroom, I like that you challenge me. It's a very novel and refreshing experience, and I wouldn't want to change that. So, yes, tell me what you want in terms of more. I will endeavor to keep an open mind, and I shall try to give you the space you need and stay away from you while you are in Georgia. I look forward to your next email. In the meantime, enjoy yourself. But not too much. Christian Gray, CEO, Gray Enterprises Holdings, Incorporated. I press send and take a sip of my cold coffee. Now you have to wait, Gray. See what she says. I stomp into the kitchen to see what Gail has prepared for breakfast. Taylor is waiting in the car to whisk me to work. What was it you wanted last night? I ask him. It was nothing important, sir. Good, I respond, and gaze out the window, trying to put Anna and Georgia out of my mind. I fail miserably, but an idea starts to take shape. I call Andrea. Morning.
Good morning, Mr. Gray.
I'm on my way in, but can you put me through to Bill?
Yes, sir.
A few moments later, I have Bill on the line. Mr. Gray? Did your people look at Georgia as an option to site the tech plant, Savannah in particular?
I believe we did, sir, but I'll need to check.
Check. Come back to me.
Will do. Is that all?
For now. Thanks. My day is full of meetings. I look at my email sporadically, but there's nothing from Anna. I wonder if she's daunted by the tone of my email, or if she's busy doing other things. What other things? It's impossible to avoid thoughts of her. Throughout the day, I exchange texts with Caroline Acton, approving and vetoing outfits she's chosen for Anna. I hope she likes them. She'll look stunning in all of them. Bill has come back to me with a potential site near Savannah for our plant. Ruth is making inquiries. At least it's not Detroit. Elena calls, and we decide to have dinner at Columbia Tower. Christian, you're being so coy about this girl, she chides. I'll tell you everything this evening. Right now I'm busy. You're always busy, she laughs. See you at 8. See you then. Why are the women in my life so nosy?
Elena, my mother, Anna.
I wonder for the 100th time what she's doing, and behold, there's a response from her at last. From Anastasia Steele. Subject, verbose? Date, May 31st, 2011, 7:08 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. To Christian Grey.
Sir, you are quite the loquacious writer. I have to go to dinner at Bob's Golf Club, and just so you know, I am rolling my eyes at the thought. But you and your twitchy palm are a long way from me, so my behind is safe for now. I loved your email. Will respond when I can. I miss you already. Enjoy your afternoon. Your Anna.
It's not a no, and she misses me. I'm relieved and amused at her tone. I respond. From Christian Grey. Subject, you're behind. Date, May 31st, 2011, 4:10 p.m. To Anastasia Steele. Dear Miss Steele, I am distracted by the title of this email. Needless to say, it is safe, for now. Enjoy your dinner, and I miss you, too, especially your behind and your smart mouth. My afternoon will be dull, brightened only by thoughts of you and your eye-rolling. I think it was you who so judiciously pointed out to me that I, too, suffer from that nasty habit. Christian Grey, CEO and eye-roller, Grey Enterprises Holdings, Incorporated. A few minutes later, her reply pings into my inbox. From Anastasia Steele. Subject, eye-rolling. Date, May 31st, 2011, 7:14 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. To Christian Grey.
Dear Mr. Grey, stop emailing me. I am trying to get ready for dinner. You are very distracting, even when you are on the other side of the continent. And yes, who spanks you when you roll your eyes?
Your Anna. Oh, Anna, you do. All the time. I remember her telling me to keep still and tugging my pubic hair while she was sitting astride me, naked. The thought is arousing. From Christian Grey. Subject, you're behind. Date, May 31st, 2011, 4:18 p.m. To Anastasia Steele. Dear Miss Steele, I still prefer my title to yours in so many different ways. It is lucky that I am master of my own destiny and no one castigates me, except my mother, occasionally, and Dr. Flynn, of course, and you. Christian Grey, CEO, Grey Enterprises Holdings, Incorporated. I find myself drumming my fingers, waiting for her reply. From Anastasia Steele, subject, chastising me? Date, May 31st, 2011, 7:22 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. To Christian Grey.
Dear sir, when have I ever plucked up the nerve to chastise you, Mr. Grey? I think you are mixing me up with someone else, which is very worrying. I really do have to get ready. Your Anna.
You chastise me via email at every opportunity. And how could I ever mix you up with anyone else? From Christian Grey. Subject, you're behind. Date, May 31st, 2011, 4:25 p.m. To Anastasia Steele. Dear Miss Steele, you do it all the time in print. Can I zip up your dress? Christian Grey, CEO, Grey Enterprises Holdings, Incorporated. From Anastasia Steele. Subject, NC-17. Date, May 31st, 2011, 7:28 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. To Christian Grey.
I would rather you unzipped it.
Her words traveled directly to my dick, passing go on the way. Fuck. This calls for, what did she call them? Shouty capitals. From Christian Grey. Subject, careful what you wish for. Date, May 31st, 2011, 4:31 p.m. To Anastasia Steele.
So would I.
Christian Grey, CEO, Grey Enterprises Holdings, Incorporated. From Anastasia Steele. Subject, panting. Date, May 31st, 2011, 7:33 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, to Christian Grey.
Slowly.
From Christian Grey, subject, groaning. Date, May 31st, 2011, 4:35 p.m. To Anastasia Steele. Wish I were there. Christian Grey, CEO, Grey Enterprises Holdings, Incorporated. From Anastasia Steele, subject, moaning. Date, May 31st, 2011, 7:37 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. To Christian Grey.
So do I. Who else can turn me on via email?
From Anastasia Steele, subject, moaning. Date, May 31st, 2011, 7:39 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. To Christian Grey.
Gotta go. Laters, baby.
I smirk at her words. From Christian Grey. Subject, plagiarism. Date, May 31st, 2011, 4:41 p.m. To Anastasia Steele.
You stole my line and left me hanging. Enjoy your dinner.
Christian Grey, CEO, Grey Enterprises Holdings, Incorporated. Andrea knocks on the door with new schematics from Barney for the solar power tablet we're developing. She's startled that I'm pleased to see her. Thanks, Andrea.
You're most welcome, Mr. Grey.
She gives me a curious smile.
Would you like some coffee?
Please.
Milk?
No, thanks. My day has improved immensely. I have knocked Bastille on his ass twice in our two rounds of kickboxing. That never happens. As I slip on my jacket after my shower, I feel ready to face Elena and all her questions. Taylor appears.
Would you like me to drive, sir?
No, I'll take the R8.
Very good, sir.
Before I leave, I check my email. From Anastasia Steele. Subject, who are you to cry thief? Date, May 31st, 2011, 10:18 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. To Christian Grey.
Sir, I think you'll find it was Elliot's line originally. Hanging how? Your Anna.
Is she flirting with me? Again? And she's my Anna. Again. From Christian Grey. Subject, unfinished business. Date, May 31st, 2011. 7:22 p.m. To Anastasia Steele.
Miss Steele, you're back. You left so suddenly, just when things were getting interesting. Elliot's not very original. He must have stolen that line from someone.
How was dinner? Christian Grey, CEO, Grey Enterprises Holdings, Incorporated. I press send. From Anastasia Steele, subject, unfinished business. Date, May 31st, 2011, 10:26 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. To Christian Grey.
Dinner was filling. You'll be very pleased to hear I ate far too much. Getting interesting? How?
I'm glad she's eating. From Christian Grey. Subject, unfinished business. Definitely. Date, May 31st, 2011, 7:30 p.m. To Anastasia Steele.
Are you being deliberately obtuse? I think you just asked me to unzip your dress.
And I was looking forward to doing just that. I am also glad to hear you are eating. Christian Grey, CEO, Grey Enterprises Holdings, Incorporated. From Anastasia Steele. Subject, well, there's always the weekend. Date, May 31st, 2011, 10:36 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. To Christian Grey.
Of course I eat. It's only the uncertainty I feel around you that puts me off my food. And I would never be unwittingly obtuse, Mr. Grey. Surely you've worked that out by now. Winking smiley face.
She loses appetite around me? That's not good. And she's making fun of me. Again. From Christian Grey. Subject, can't wait. Date, May 31st, 2011, 7:40 p.m. to Anastasia Steele. I shall remember that, Miss Steele, and no doubt use the knowledge to my advantage. I'm sorry to hear that I put you off your food. I thought I had a more concupiscent effect on you. That has been my experience, and most pleasurable it has been, too. I very much look forward to the next time. Christian Gray, CEO, Gray Enterprises Holdings, Incorporated. From Anastasia Steele, subject, Gymnastic Linguistics. Date, May 31st, 2011, 10:36 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. To Christian Gray.
Have you been playing with the thesaurus again?
I hoot with laughter. From Christian Gray, subject, rumbled. Date, May 31st, 2011, 7:40 p.m. To Anastasia Steele. You know me so well, Miss Steele. I am having dinner with an old friend now, so I will be driving. Laters, baby. Copyright. Christian Gray, CEO, Gray Enterprises Holdings, Incorporated. As much as I'd like to keep up the banter with Anna, I don't want to be late for dinner. If I were, Elena would be displeased. I power down my computer, collect my wallet and phone, and take the elevator to the garage. The Mile High Club is on the penthouse floor of Columbia Tower. The sun is sinking toward the peaks of Olympic National Park, coloring the sky with an impressive fusion of oranges, pinks, and opals. It's stunning. Anna would love this view. I should bring her here. Elena is seated at a corner table. She gives me a small wave and a big smile. The maitre d' escorts me to her table, and she rises, presenting her cheek to me. Hello, Christian, she purrs.
Good evening, Elena. You're looking great, as usual.
I kiss her cheek. She tosses her sleek platinum hair to one side, which she does when she's feeling playful.
Sit, she says. What would you like to drink?
Her fingers and her trademark scarlet fingernails are wrapped around a champagne flute. I see you've started on the Cristal.
Well, I think we've got something to celebrate, don't you?
We do.
Christian, this girl, spill the beans.
I'll have a glass of the Mendocino Sauvignon Blanc, I tell the hovering waiter. He nods and hurries off.
So not a cause for celebration?
Elena takes a sip of her champagne, eyebrows raised. I don't know why you're making such a big deal of this.
I'm not making a big deal. I'm curious. How old is she? What does she do?
She's just graduated.
Oh, a little young for you?
I arch a brow.
Really? You're going to go there?
Elena laughs. How is Isaac? I ask with a smirk. She laughs again.
Behaving.
Her eyes sparkle with mischief. How boring for you. My voice is dry. She smiles, resigned.
He's a good pet. Shall we order?
Halfway through the crab chowder, I put Elena out of her misery. Her name is Anastasia. She studied literature at WSU, and I met her when she came to interview me for the student newspaper. I gave the commencement address this year.
Is she in the lifestyle?
Not yet, but I'm hopeful.
Wow.
Yeah, she's escaped to Georgia to think it through.
That's a long way to go.
I know. I look down at my chowder, wondering how Anna is and what she's doing. Sleeping, I hope. Alone. When I raise my head, Elena is studying me, intently.
I haven't seen you like this, she says.
What do you mean?
You're distracted. That's not like you.
Is it that obvious? She nods, her eyes softening.
Obvious to me. I think she's turned your world upside down.
I inhale sharply, but hide the fact by raising my glass to my lips.
Perceptive, Mrs. Lincoln.
You think? I murmur after my sip.
I think, she says, her eyes searching mine.
She's very disarming.
I'm sure that's novel. And I bet you're worrying about what she's doing in Georgia, what she's thinking. I know how you are.
Yes, I want her to make the right decision.
You should go and see her.
What?
Get on a plane.
Really?
If she's undecided, go use your considerable charm.
My snort is derisive. Christian, she scolds.
When you want something badly enough, you go after it and you always win. You know that. You're so negative about yourself. Drives me crazy.
I sigh. I'm not sure.
The poor girl is probably bored to tears down there. Go. You'll get your answer. If it's no, you can move on. If it's yes, you can enjoy being yourself with her.
She's back Friday.
Seize the day, my dear.
She did say she missed me.
There you go.
Her eyes flash with certainty. I'll think about it. More champagne?
Please, she says, and gives me a girlish grin.
Driving back to Escala, I contemplate Elena's advice. I could go to see Anna. She said she's missed me. The jet's available. Back home, I read her latest email. From Anastasia Steele. Subject: suitable dinner companions. Date: May 31st, 2011, 11:58 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. To Christian Gray.
I hope you and your friend had a very pleasant dinner. Anna. P.S. Was it Mrs. Robinson?
Shit. This is the perfect excuse. This is going to need an answer in person. I buzz Taylor and tell him I'm going to need Stefan and the Gulfstream in the morning.
Very good, Mr. Gray. Where are you going?
We're going to Savannah.
Yes, sir.
And there's a hint of amusement in his voice. Wednesday, June 1st, 2011. It's been an interesting morning. We left Boeing Field at 11:30 Pacific Standard Time. Stefan is flying with his first officer, Jill Bailey, and we're due to arrive in Georgia at 19:30 hours, Eastern Standard Time. Bill has managed to arrange a meeting with the Savannah Brownfield Redevelopment Authority tomorrow, and I might be meeting them for a drink this evening. So if Anastasia is otherwise occupied or doesn't want to see me, the journey won't be a complete waste of time. Yeah, yeah. Tell yourself that, Gray. Taylor has joined me for a light lunch and is now sorting through some paperwork, and I have a whole lot of reading to do. The only part of the equation I've yet to solve is arranging to see Anna. I'll see how that goes once I arrive in Savannah. I'm hoping some inspiration will come to me on the flight. I run my hand through my hair, and for the first time in a long while, I lie back and doze as the G550 cruises at 30,000 feet, bound for Savannah Hilton Head International. The drone of the engines is soothing, and I'm tired. So tired. That would be the nightmares, Gray. I don't know why they are worse at the moment. I close my eyes.
This is how you will be with me. Do you understand?
Yes, ma'am. She runs a scarlet fingernail across my chest. I flinch and pull against the restraints as the darkness surfaces, burning my skin in the wake of her touch. But I don't make a sound. I don't dare.
If you behave, I'll let you come. In my mouth.
Fuck.
But not yet. We've got a long way to go before then.
Her fingernail blazes down my skin, from the top of my sternum to my navel. I want to scream. She grabs my face, squeezing open my mouth, and kisses me. Her tongue demanding and wet. She brandishes the leather flogger, and I know this will be tough to endure, but I have my eye on the prize, her fucking mouth. As the first lash falls and blisters across my skin,
I welcome the pain and the endorphin rush.
Mr. Gray will be landing in 20 minutes, Taylor informs me, startling me awake. Are you okay, sir?
Yeah, sure. Thanks.
Would you like some water?
Please.
I take a deep breath to bring my heart rate down, and Taylor passes me a glass of cold Evian. I take a welcome sip, glad that it's just Taylor on board. It's not often I dream about my heady days with Mrs. Lincoln. Out of the window, the sky is blue, the sparse clouds pinking with the early evening sun. The light up here is brilliant, golden, tranquil. The sinking sun reflecting off the cumulus clouds. For a moment, I wish I were in my sailplane. I bet the thermals are fantastic up here. Yes, that's what I should do. Take Anna soaring. That would be more, wouldn't it?
Taylor?
Yes, sir. I'd like to take Anastasia soaring in Georgia at dawn tomorrow if we can find somewhere to do that. But later would be fine, too. If it's later, I'll have to move my meeting.
I'll get on it.
Never mind the cost.
Okay, sir.
Thanks. Now I just have to tell Anna. There are two cars waiting for us when the G550 comes to a halt on the tarmac near the signature flight support terminal at the airport. Taylor and I step out of the plane and into the suffocating heat. Hell, it's sticky, even at this time. The rep hands the keys for both cars to Taylor. I raise a brow at him. Ford Mustang? It's all I could find in Savannah at short notice. Taylor looks sheepish. At least it's a red convertible, though in this heat I hope it has AC.
It should have everything, sir.
Good. Thanks. I take the keys from him and, grabbing my messenger bag, leave him to unload the rest of the luggage from the plane into his Suburban. I shake hands with Stefan and Bailey and thank them for a smooth flight. In the Mustang, I cruise out of the airport and onward to downtown Savannah, listening to Bruce on my iPod through the car sound system. Andrea has booked me into a suite at the Bohemian Hotel, which looks out over the Savannah River. It's dusk, and the view from the balcony is impressive. The river is luminous, reflecting the graduated colors of the sky and the lights on the suspension bridge and the docks. The sky is incandescent, the colors shaded from deep purple to a rosy pink. It's almost as striking as twilight over the Sound. But I don't have time to stand here and admire the view. I set up my laptop, crank the air conditioning to full blast, and call Roz for an update.
Why the sudden interest in Georgia, Christian?
It's personal. She huffs down the phone.
Since when have you let your personal life interfere with business?
Since I met Anastasia Steele.
I don't like Detroit, I snap.
Okay.
She backs off. I might meet the Savannah Brownfield liaison for a drink later, I add, attempting to placate her.
Whatever, Christian. There are a few other things we need to talk about. The aid has arrived in Rotterdam. Do you still want to go ahead?
Yes, let's get it done. I made a commitment at the End Global Hunger launch. This needs to happen before I can face that committee again.
Okay. Any further thoughts on the publishing acquisition?
I'm still undecided.
I think SIP has some potential.
Yeah, maybe. Let me think about it for a while longer.
I'm seeing Marco to discuss the Lucas Woods situation.
Okay, let me know how that goes. Call me later.
Will do. Bye for now.
I'm avoiding the inevitable. I know this. But I decide it would be better to tackle Miss Steele via email or phone, I've yet to decide which, on a full stomach, so I order dinner. While I'm waiting, there's a text from Andrea letting me know my drinks appointment is off. I'm fine with that. I'll see them tomorrow morning, provided I'm not soaring with Anna. Before room service arrives, Taylor calls.
Mr. Gray,
Taylor, are you checked in?
Yes, sir. Your luggage will be on its way up in a moment.
Great.
The Brunswick Soaring Association has a glider free. I've asked Andrea to fax through your flying credentials to them. Once the paperwork's signed, we're good to go.
Great.
They'll do any time from 6 a.m.
Even better. Have them ready from then.
Send me the address.
Will do.
There's a knock on the door. My luggage and room service have arrived simultaneously. The food smells delicious. Fried green tomatoes and shrimp and grits. Well, I'm in the South. While I eat, I contemplate my strategy with Anna. I could pay a visit to her mom's tomorrow at breakfast, bring bagels, then take her soaring. That's probably the best plan. She hasn't been in touch all day, so I guess she's mad. I reread her last message once I've finished dinner. What the hell has she got against Elena? She knows nothing about our relationship. What we had happened a long time ago, and now we're just friends. What right does Anna have to be mad?
And if it wasn't for Elena, God knows what would have happened to me.
There's a knock on the door. It's Taylor.
Good evening, sir. Happy with your room?
Yes, it's fine. I have the paperwork for the Brunswick Soaring Association here. I scan the hire agreement. It looks fine. I sign it and give it back to him. I'll drive myself tomorrow. I'll see you there.
Yes, sir. I'll be there from 6.
I'll let you know if anything changes.
Shall I unpack for you, sir?
Please, thanks. He nods and takes my suitcase into the bedroom. I'm restless, and I need to get what I'm going to say to Anna clear in my mind. I glance at my watch. It's 9:20. I've left this really late. Perhaps I should have a quick drink first. I leave Taylor to unpack and decide to check out the hotel bar before I speak to Roz again and write to Anna. The rooftop bar is crowded, but I find a seat at the end of the counter and order a beer. It's a hip, contemporary place with moody lighting and a relaxed vibe. I scan the bar, avoiding eye contact with the two women sitting next to me, and a movement captures my attention. A frustrated flip of glossy mahogany hair that catches and refracts the light. It's Anna. Fuck. She's facing away from me, seated opposite a woman who could only be her mother. The resemblance is striking. What are the fucking odds? In all the gin joints. Jesus. I watch them, transfixed. They're drinking cocktails. Cosmopolitans by the look of them. Her mother is stunning, like Anna, but older. She looks late 30s, with long, dark hair and eyes that are Anna's shade of blue. She has a bohemian vibe about her, not someone I'd automatically associate with the golf club set. Perhaps she's dressed that way because she's out with her young, beautiful daughter. This is priceless. Seize the day, Gray. I fish my phone out of my jeans pocket. It's time to email Anna. This should be interesting. I'll test her mood, and I get to watch. From Christian Gray, subject, dinner companions, date, June 1st, 2011, 9:40 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. To Anastasia Steele. Yes, I had dinner with Mrs. Robinson. She is just an old friend, Anastasia. Looking forward to seeing you again. I miss you. Christian Gray, CEO, Gray Enterprises Holdings, Incorporated. Her mother looks earnest. Maybe she's concerned for her daughter, or maybe she's trying to extract information from her. Good luck, Mrs. Adams. And for a moment, I wonder if they're discussing me. Her mother stands. It looks like she's visiting the restroom. Anna checks her purse and pulls out her BlackBerry. Here we go. She begins to read, her shoulders hunched over, her fingers flexing and drumming on the table. She starts tapping furiously at the keys. I can't see her face, which is frustrating, but I don't think she's impressed with what she's just read. A moment later, she abandons the phone on the table in what appears to be disgust. That's not good.
Her mother returns and signals one of the waiters for another round of drinks. I wonder how many they've had. I check my phone, and sure enough, there's a response. From Anastasia Steele. Subject, Old Dinner Companions. Date, June 1st, 2011. 9:42 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. To Christian Gray. She's not just an old friend. Has she found another adolescent boy to sink her teeth into? Did you get too old for her? Is that the reason your relationship finished? What the hell? My temper simmers as I read. Isaac is in his late 20s. Like me. How dare she? Is it the drink talking? Time to declare yourself, Gray. From Christian Gray. Subject, careful. Date, June 1st, 2011, 9:45 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. To Anastasia Steele. This is not something I wish to discuss via email. How many cosmopolitans are you going to drink? Christian Gray, CEO, Gray Enterprises Holdings, Incorporated. She studies her phone, sits up suddenly, and looks around the room. Showtime, Gray. I deposit $10 on the counter and saunter over to them. Our eyes meet. She blanches, shocked, I think. And I don't know how she'll greet me, or how I'll contain my temper if she says anything else about Elena. She tucks her hair behind her ears with restless fingers, a sure sign that she's nervous.
Hi,
she says, her voice strained and high-pitched. Hi. I lean down and kiss her cheek. She smells amazing, even if she does tense as my lips brush her skin. She looks lovely. She's caught some sun, and she's not wearing a bra. Her breasts are straining against the silky material of her top, but hidden by her long hair. For my eyes only, I hope. And even though she's mad, I'm glad to see her. I've missed her.
Christian, this is my mother, Carla.
Anna gestures to her mom. Mrs. Adams, I am delighted to meet you. Her mom's eyes are all over me. Shit. She's checking me out. Best ignore it, Gray. After a longer than necessary pause, she reaches out to shake my hand. Christian?
What are you doing here?
Anna asks, her tone accusatory. I came to see you, of course. I'm staying in this hotel.
You're staying here?
She squeaks. Yes, I can't quite believe it either. Well, yesterday you said you wished I was here. I'm trying to gauge her reaction. So far there's been nervous fidgeting, tensing, an accusatory tone, and a strained voice. This is not going well. We aim to please, Miss Steele, I add, deadpan, hoping to put her in a good mood.
Won't you join us for a drink, Christian?
Mrs. Adams says graciously, and catches the eye of the waiter. I need something stronger than beer. I'll have a gin and tonic, I tell the waiter. Hendrick's if you have it, or Bombay Sapphire. Cucumber with the Hendrick's, lime with the Bombay.
And two more Cosmos, please,
Anna adds with an anxious look at me. She's right to be anxious. I think she's had enough to drink already.
Please pull up a chair, Christian.
Thank you, Mrs. Adams. I do as she asks, and sit down beside Anna.
So you just happen to be staying in the hotel where we're drinking?
Anna's tone is tense. Or you just happen to be drinking in the hotel where I'm staying. I just finished dinner, came in here, and saw you. I was distracted, thinking about your most recent email. I give her a pointed look. And I glance up, and there you are. Quite a coincidence, eh? Anna looks flustered.
My mother and I were shopping this morning and on the beach this afternoon. We decided on a few cocktails this evening,
she says hurriedly, as if she has to justify drinking in a bar with her mother. Did you buy that top? I ask. She really does look stunning. Her camisole is emerald green. I've made the right choices. Gem colors. For the clothes Caroline Acton has selected for her. The color suits you. And you've caught some sun. You look lovely. Her cheeks color and her lips lift at my compliment. Well, I was going to pay you a visit tomorrow, but here you are. I take her hand, because I want to touch her, and I give it a gentle squeeze. Slowly I caress her knuckles with my thumb, and her breathing alters. Yes, Anna, feel it. Don't be mad at me. Her eyes meet mine, and I'm rewarded with her coy smile. I thought I'd surprise you, but as ever, Anastasia, you surprise me by being here. I don't want to interrupt the time you have with your mother. I'll have a quick drink and then retire. I have work to do. I resist kissing her knuckles. I don't know what she's said to her mother about us, if anything. Christian, it's lovely to meet you finally. Anna has spoken very fondly of you, Mrs. Adams says with a charming smile. Really? I glance at Anna, who's blushing. Fondly, eh? This is good news. The waiter places my gin and tonic in front of me. Hendricks, sir. Thank you. He serves Anna and her mother fresh cosmopolitans. How long are you in Georgia, Christian? Her mom asks. Until Friday, Mrs. Adams. Will you have dinner with us tomorrow evening? And please call me Carla. I'd be delighted to, Carla. Excellent, she says. If you two will excuse me, I need to visit the restroom. Hasn't she just been to the restroom? I stand as she leaves, then sit down again to face the wrath of Miss Steele. I take her hand once more. So you're mad at me for having dinner with an old friend? I kiss each knuckle. Yes. She's curt. Is she jealous? Our sexual relationship was over long ago, Anastasia. I don't want anyone but you. Haven't you worked that out yet? I think of her as a child molester, Christian. My scalp tingles in shock. That's very judgmental. It wasn't like that. I release her hand in frustration. Oh, how was it then? She snaps, sticking out her stubborn little chin. Is this the drink talking? She continues. She took advantage of a vulnerable 15-year-old boy. If you had been a 15-year-old girl and Mrs. Robinson was a Mr. Robinson, tempting you into a BDSM lifestyle, that would have been okay? If it was Mia, say? Oh, now she's being ridiculous. Anna, it wasn't like that. Her eyes flash. She's really angry. Why? This has nothing to do with her. But I don't want a full-blown argument here in the bar. I moderate my voice. Okay, it didn't feel like that to me. She was a force for good. What I needed. Good God, I'd probably be dead by now if it wasn't for Elena. I'm struggling to control my temper. Her brow furrows. I don't understand. Shut her down, Gray. Anastasia, your mother will be back shortly. I'm not comfortable talking about this now. Later, maybe. If you don't want me here, I have a plane on standby at Hilton Head. I can go. Her expression changes to panic. No, don't go. Please. I'm thrilled you're here, she adds quickly. Thrilled? You could have fooled me. I'm just trying to make you understand, she says. I'm angry that as soon as I left, you had dinner with her. Think about how you are when I get anywhere near Jose. Jose is a good friend. I have never had a sexual relationship with him, whereas you and her... You're jealous? How can I make her realize that Elena and I are friends? She has nothing to be jealous about. Clearly, Miss Steele is possessive, and it takes me a moment to realize that I like that. Yes, and angry about what she did to you, she continues. Anastasia, she helped me. That's all I'll say about that. And as for your jealousy, put yourself in my shoes. I haven't had to justify my actions to anyone in the last 7 years. Not one person. I do as I wish, Anastasia. I like my autonomy. I didn't go and see Mrs. Robinson to upset you. I went because every now and then we have dinner. She's a friend and a business partner.
Her eyes widen.
Oh, didn't I mention that? Why would I mention that? It's nothing to do with her. Yes, we're business partners. The sex is over between us. It has been for years. Why did your relationship end? Her husband found out. Can we talk about this some other time? Somewhere more private? I don't think you'll ever convince me that she's not some kind of pedophile.
Fucking hell, Anna. Enough is enough. I don't think of her that way. I never have. Now that's enough. I growl.
Did you love her?
What?
How are you two getting on? Carla is back. Anna forces a smile that makes my stomach churn. Fine, Mom.
Did I love Elena?
I take a sip of my drink. I fucking worshipped her. But did I love her? What a ridiculous question. I know nothing about romantic love. That's the hearts and flowers shit she wants. The 19th century novels she's read have filled her head with nonsense. I've had enough. Well, ladies, I shall leave you to your evening. Please put these drinks on my tab, room number 612. I'll call you in the morning, Anastasia. Until tomorrow, Carla.
Oh, it's so nice to hear someone use your full name.
Beautiful name for a beautiful girl.
I shake Carla's hand, sincere about the compliment, but not the smile on my face. Anna is quiet, imploring me with a look that I ignore. I kiss her cheek.
Laters, baby. I murmur in her ear, then turn and walk through the bar and back down to my room. That girl provokes me like no one has before. And she's pissed at me. Maybe she has PMS. She said her period was due this week. I burst into my room, slam the door, and head straight for the balcony. It's warm outside, and I take a deep breath, inhaling the pungent, salty scent of the river. Night has fallen, and the river is inky black, like the sky. Like my mood. I didn't even get to discuss gliding tomorrow. I rest my hands on the balcony rail. The lights on the shore and the bridge improve the view, but not my temperament. Why am I defending a relationship that began when Anna was still in fourth grade? It's none of her business. Yes, it was unconventional, but that's all. I run both hands through my hair. This trip isn't working out how I expected, at all. Perhaps it was a mistake to come down here, and to think it was Elena who encouraged me to make the trip. My phone buzzes, and I hope it's Anna. It's Roz. Yes, I snap. Jeez, Christian, am I interrupting something? No, sorry. What's up? Calm down, Gray. I thought I'd update you on my conversation with Marco, but if now is a bad time, I'll call back in the morning. No, it's fine. There's a knock on the door. Hang on, Ross. I open it, expecting Taylor or someone from housekeeping to do turndown, but it's Anna, standing in the corridor, looking bashful and beautiful. She's here. Opening the door wider, I motion her in. All the redundancy packages concluded? I ask Roz, without taking my eyes off Anna. Yes. Anna walks into the room, watching me warily, her lips parted and moist, her eyes darkening. What's this? A change of heart? I know that look. It's desire. She wants me. And I want her too, especially after our spat in the bar. Why else would she be here? And the cost? I question Roz. Nearly 2 million. I whistle through my teeth. That was one expensive mistake. GEH gets to exploit the fiber optic division. She's right. This was one of our goals. And Lucas? I ask.
He reacted badly. I opened the minibar and gestured to Anna to help herself. Leaving her there, I stroll into the bedroom. What did he do? He threw a fit. In the bathroom, I turn on the faucet to run water into the huge sunken marble bath and add some scented bath oil. There's room for 6 people in here. The majority of that money is for him, I remind Roz as I check the water temperature. And he has the buyout price for the company. He can always start again. I turn to leave, but as an afterthought, I decide to light the various candles that are artfully arranged on the stone bench. Lit candles count as more, don't they? Well, he's threatening lawyers, though I don't understand why. We're bulletproof on this. Is that water I hear? Roz asks. Yeah, I'm running a bath. Oh, do you want me to go? No. Anything else? Yes, Fred wants to talk to you. Really? He's gone over Barney's new design. As I wander back into the living room, I acknowledge Barney's design solution for the tablet and ask her to have Andrea send me the revised schematics. Anna has retrieved a bottle of orange juice. Is this your new management style, not being here? Roz asks. I laugh out loud, but mainly at Anna's choice of beverage. Wise woman. And I tell Roz that I won't be back in the office until Friday. Are you seriously going to change your mind about Detroit? There's a plot of land here that I'm interested in. Is Bill aware of this? Roz is snippy. Yeah, get Bill to call. Will do. Did you get a drink with the Savannah people this evening? I tell her that I'll be seeing them tomorrow. I'm more conciliatory and mindful of my tone, as this is a hot button for Roz. I want to see what Georgia will offer if we move in. I take a glass off the shelf, hand it to Anna, and point to the ice bucket. If their incentives are attractive enough, I continue, I think we should consider it, though I'm not sure about the damned heat here. Anna pours her drink. It's late to be changing your mind on this, Christian, but it might give us some leverage with Detroit, Roz muses. I agree, Detroit has its advantages too, and it's cooler. But there are too many ghosts there for me. Get Bill to call tomorrow. It's late now, and I have a visitor. Not too early, I warn. Roz says goodnight, and I hang up. Anna eyes me with reserve as I drink her in. Her lush hair falls over small shoulders, framing her lovely, pensive face. You didn't answer my question, she murmurs. No, I didn't. No, you didn't answer my question, or no, you didn't love her. She's not going to let this go. I lean against the wall and fold my arms so I don't pull her into them. What are you doing here, Anastasia?
I've just told you.
Put her out of her misery, Gray. No, I didn't love her. Her shoulders relax and her face softens. It's what she wanted to hear. You're quite the green-eyed goddess, Anastasia. Who would have thought? But are you my green-eyed goddess? Are you making fun of me, Mr. Gray? I wouldn't dare, I retort.
Oh, I think you would, and I think you do, often.
She smirks and sinks perfect teeth into her lip. She's doing that on purpose. Please stop biting your lip. You're in my room. I haven't set eyes on you for nearly 3 days, and I've flown a long way to see you. I need to know that we're okay, the only way I know how. I want to fuck her hard. My phone buzzes, but I switch it off without checking the caller. Whoever it is can wait. I step toward her. I want you, Anastasia, now. And you want me. That's why you're here.
I really did want to know, she says.
Well, now that you do, are you coming or going? I ask, standing in front of her.
Coming,
she says, her eyes on mine. Oh, I hope so. I stare down at her, marveling as her irises darken.
She wants me.
You were so mad at me, I whisper.
It's still novel,